The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bow down with care. God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. When hoary time shall pass away, and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray, on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong. Redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. Could we within the ocean fill, and were the skies a parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong.
Amen. Thank you, preacher and Miss Preacher, for that song. That's a blessing. I love to read hymn stories. And if you look that song up in a songbook, you'll find out they don't know who wrote the words to it. They found the words scribbled on a wall in an insane asylum. They had somebody in there that didn't need to be in there. He had more sense than a lot of so-called sane people today. Amen. Writing a song like that, the love of God. Well, it's sure good to be here tonight, and thank you for coming and making it your business to be in God's house. Amen. Your church, when the church is open, the program's going on. And get excited about what God gets excited about. Amen. You can check your spiritual relationship to God by checking your own heart and see if you're excited about what God's excited about. And I promise you, if you look to the programs of churches today, there is nothing going on in the church that God has given more instruction and encouragement to than missions. Missions. He only recorded the story of the virgin birth of Christ twice in the Bible. But five different times, in five different places, at five different groups of people, he gave the Great Commission five different ways, but all meaning the same thing. Now, let me teach you something here that'll help you in understanding biblical truth. In interpreting the Bible, there's the principle of first mention. When a doctrine is mentioned for the first time in Scripture, it's given in more detail in that first time than any other place that follows. So you interpret all other accounts of that in light of the first time it was mentioned in the Scripture. And that's especially true when you're interpreting New Testament doctrine. And so the first time it's mentioned is the most detailed form of the Great Commission. That's Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, 19, and 20. It tells us where our authority comes from, our power comes from, and it tells us what we're to do. Our job is not just to win them, it's to win them, baptize them, and train them. Get them into a local church setting where they can be taught and grow and so forth. And then the promise is given. If you'll do those things, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Now, the most concise form of the Great Commission is in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15 when he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But you know what that means? The same thing that was stated in Matthew 28, 18, 19, and 20. So you interpret those in light of first mention. And always means the same thing, though it may be worded a little bit different. He's not cutting out the winning them, baptizing them, and teaching them there. It's included. It's a part of the Great Commission, no matter how it's stated. Open your Bibles tonight to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. Mark, chapter 16. And we'll begin to read in verse number 9. Now, if you're able to stand, would you stand out of love and respect for the Word of God with me as we read? And by the way, let me say this to you, whether you're a young Christian or an old Christian. Don't allow somebody else's decision about the things of God influence you. For instance, because someone said, no, we're just too tired when we come home from work, we're not going to make the missions conference. Hey, make up your own mind. Be in God's house. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Just because some things are not important to some people doesn't mean that it ought to be unimportant to you. Be faithful. Be faithful. A lot of things we can't do alike. I wish I could sing like your pastor, but I can't. But there's some things I can do. So I'm going to be faithful in doing what I can do and not just quit and back out because I can't do some things other people can do. So be faithful. Now the Bible says in Mark chapter 16 and verse number 9, now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had not had been seen of her, believed not. These were a bunch of Baptists. Believed not. And after that, he appeared in another form unto two of them that as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterwards, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them. That means he ripped their face off. Upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I want to speak to you tonight on the subject why we must go to the mission fields of the world. Why we must go to the mission fields of the world. Father, help me in the next few moments to say something to challenge the hearts of these dear people, those who have been serving you for years and those who are new and just beginning this wonderful journey in the will of God. God, stir us. Renew our vision. Speak to our hearts about your will. As the two referred to here that he appeared on the road, the Emmaus road. When they visited with him, they said, our hearts doth burn within us. And God, I pray that you'd set our hearts on fire again. We've been exposed to so much of the crud of this world that it's not fueling the fire. It's putting the fire out. So God, would you stir our soul and set our hearts on fire again for the things of God. Help us to get excited again about obeying you and serving you and what you would have me as an individual to do. Now, I need your help tonight. Help me to be a blessing to these who made it their business, a priority to be in your house tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Jesus said in verse number 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Isn't it amazing? He had to upbraid them for their hardness of heart and unbelief. That's human nature. And we have to deal with it too. If we're not careful, we'll say, oh, another missions conference. Another service. Man, why can't I just stay home? God, help us to not get our old hearts so cold and indifferent that it would require God to have to upbraid us, to fuss at us, rebuke us. We ought to keep ourselves in tune and touch with him so he can bless us instead of having to upbraid us. And isn't it amazing? No matter how your heart is spiritually, whether it's hard and indifferent or set on fire, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He just upbraided them, the Bible says. He fussed at them because of their hard heart and unbelief. And in the next breath, he said, now go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's our responsibility. So no matter what your heart condition is tonight, God said to you, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. God's plan for man's salvation is an amazing thing. It's his divine plan that his son, Jesus Christ, would come into this world as the last Adam, be tempted as man is tempted, yet without sin, and go to an old rugged cross to die for sinners. His plan provides that any sinner can be saved by grace through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. God's wonderful plan of salvation is finished. It's completed. It's available to any sinner anywhere. Now, God's also planned that we who are saved and make up His local church should be given the responsibility to carry the gospel message to every creature, everywhere in the world. The first part of God's plan to save sinners is not the problem. Jesus has done His work. It is the Christian and the church that God's put us in that's the problem. Every man everywhere needs to hear the gospel, or they face an eternal jeopardy of dying and going to hell forever and forever. We here in America are the product of foreign missions. The church at Antioch in Syria sent out Paul as a missionary. And God changed Paul's course and directed him to Macedonia with the gospel. His plan was to go into Asia. But God said, no, I want you to go to Macedonia. Macedonia was the open door to Europe. And the gospel went into Macedonia and into Europe and into Great Britain and from Great Britain to America. America's been blessed for over 200 years. Because we've made it our business to obey Christ and carry the gospel to the uttermost part of the world. Generations before you have been faithful to obey God, or you wouldn't be sitting here today. The question that this missions conference must answer is, will you be faithful to send the gospel to people everywhere? Had the church at Antioch not been faithful to send out Paul as God said, and had Paul not been faithful to obey God and change his course to go to Macedonia, it's very possible that Asia might be the Christian country sending out missionaries, and we here in America might be the pagan atheist of China, like China. Others around the world are depending on Christians and churches just like you to obey the same command that Paul received and the church at Antioch received. Now, I want you to consider with me for just a few minutes why we must go to the mission fields of the world today with the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Number one, we must go to the mission fields of the world because our Lord commanded us to go. Now listen, regardless of what else is said, regardless of loving souls or not loving souls, regardless of the great need, regardless of the urgency of the hour, if there was nothing else written except the command of God to go, that ought to be enough for a Christian that loves Him. The number one motive in missions, anyway, is not your love for souls. It's your love for the Lord Jesus. And Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And five times he commands us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We're commanded to go. Listen to the Lord Jesus' command. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Again, Jesus said in Mark chapter 16:15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Again in Luke 24:46-47, and Jesus said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. In John 20:21, Jesus says again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, so send I you. And finally, Jesus said in Acts 1:8, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth." If there was no other reason on this earth other than these five times Jesus gave the Great Commission, that ought to be enough for every honest Christian to get involved in world missions. That ought to be enough for men to surrender their lives to be His missionary, and preachers to surrender their lives to be His preacher. That ought to be enough for me and you to set aside something every week or every payday above our tithe, especially for world missions. And that ought to be enough to cause me and you to be a personal witness to others about their eternal soul. This is of greatest importance to God, and if we're right with God, it'll become of great importance to us also. Secondly, we must go to the mission fields of the world because of the cross of Christ. You see, the message of the old rugged cross changes lives. The message of the cross convicts of sin. The message of the cross converts the sinner. And the message of the cross draws men to Him. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." Now, you say He is lifted up on Calvary. Yes, but we can lift Him up in our witnessing and in our preaching through missions. And if the gospel story of Jesus is lifted up throughout this world, not everybody will get saved, but some will get saved. Because He said, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me." Now you listen to me, my dear friend. This old idea, well, if they want to be saved, let them get saved when they want to. John 6:44 says, "No man can come to me except the Father that sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day." How is men drawn to Christ? Through the preaching of the cross. One of the most eloquent messages Paul ever preached was at Athens on Mars Hill. One of the few places Paul had ever been that a church wasn't established was in Athens. Preached an eloquent message. Oh man, he was talking to the wise men, to the orators, the Greek orators, to the Senate. And he tried to appeal to their intellect. I don't know if anybody was saved there on Mars Hill. I know a church wasn't established. He left there and went to Corinth. You know what he said about Corinth? He said, "God forbid that I should know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." You see, when Christ is preached, people are drawn. God deliver us from these people who are preaching eloquent messages, perfect oratory to please people. Preach the cross! Somebody asked J. Frank Norris, said, "What's your method of preaching?" He said, "I take a text and make a beeline for Calvary." Preach the cross. Preach the cross. We must go to the mission fields of the world because of the cross of Jesus Christ. If we do not go to the mission fields of the world with the message of the cross, then the cross was in vain. The cross has its effect and power on sinners when we declare the message of the cross and we tell about Jesus suffering and bleeding and dying for us. We must go to the mission fields of the world because of the cross of Christ. Thirdly, we must go to the mission fields of the world because of the nature of the message of salvation. Turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. I'm going to begin to read in verse number 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Now look at verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe of him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good joy. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Oh, my dear friend, the very nature of the message of salvation is that they've got to be told. Faith cometh by hearing the word of God. That means that they must have a witness, a preacher, to proclaim the gospel message to them before they can be saved. I hear people say, well, I just read a tract. Well, I promise you, if they read a tract, it clicked only because some preacher or some soul winner had already given them the gospel and explained it to them. If they don't have a Bible preacher preaching Christ and presenting the gospel, they're going to end up believing some heresy, some thing that sounds good to them. My church sent me and my wife on a couple of week trip to Hawaii. And while on the island of Oahu, we drove around the island. And on the back side of the island is this huge display. It represents all of the islands in the South Seas. And it shows the different cultures. It's called the Hawaiian Cultural Center. And it shows how the natives live on all of these different islands and their difference. Now, there's something unusual about that. That cultural center. It's owned by Mormons. And all the people that are working there are people from these countries that the Mormons have reached. And if they come and work there, then they send them to the Mormon college free of charge. Now, I found out about this while I was there. Now, we're not going there, but the Mormons are, with their heresy. The JWs are, with their heresy. The Charismatics are, with their heresy. And we who have the truth, we who believe in the very Word of God is the final rule of authority in all matters of faith and practice, we who believe that salvation is by grace through faith, we who believe that it's got to be given out and explained by a Christian, for faith cometh by hearing, not by reading, by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's talking about salvation. Somebody's got to explain. They need a preacher, a missionary, before they need a Bible. After they get saved, they need a Bible. They need a John and Romans. But let me tell you what they need more than anything else, because of the nature of salvation, is they need a soul winner, a witness, a preacher, a missionary, someone to tell them about Jesus and explain salvation to them so they can say, I see, I understand. But they're not going to understand. You ever wonder why so many people worship all kinds of heresies, voodooism, statues, totem poles, alligators, crocodiles, sun gods, moon gods. You know why? Because God has put it in the heart of everybody to be religious. God made man to have a relationship with God. And if someone does not tell them the Bible truth, then they're going to believe something that's heresy and end up being religious, quote, but know nothing about free salvation. The very nature of salvation requires someone to go and knock on a door and tell people about Jesus. It requires a preacher and a missionary and evangelist to declare the Word of God to tell people about Jesus. That's the reason we must go to the mission fields. The very nature of salvation itself requires that someone goes. That's the way God planned it. Do you know, God could have made the rocks to cry out if he wanted to. But God said, no, I'm going to take those that are saved and give them an opportunity to partner with me in my plan and give and go and witness so they can be blessed by God. Oh my. God did not just have sinners and foreign fields in mind when he gave the Great Commission. He had me and you that are saved in mind because he wanted to put together a program where we could get involved in God's plan and be blessed and be rewarded for it. By the way, everything you do in a local church ought to be done in light of the Great Commission. You ought to make no decision to do anything that would cause you to have to stop supporting missions or give up soul winning. Fourthly, we must go to the mission fields of the world because we don't have much time left. We've got to get busy. We have less time than we had last year at missions conference time. We don't know when this is going to be the last opportunity for you to get involved. We must go to the mission fields of the world because we don't have much time left. Doors that have recently opened to the gospel are quickly closing. Lithuania led the movement of the Soviet states for independence from communism. And only 14 months later, they voted to go back into communism. The door was open for a little while, then it closed. Now listen to what I'm about to say. There are more people in countries closed to the gospel preaching missionary today than there are people in the countries open to the gospel preaching missionary. Let me give you an eye. Look at the Ukraine. Matt Hudson was there and his wife and family. He had to come home when Russia invaded. Became a powder keg, dangerous for his family. Just because it was open one day doesn't mean it's going to be open forever. Let me give you an idea for a missions conference sometime. Go to one of the flag companies and buy a set of little flags. You can get a United Nations set that's got all of the countries of the world. And go through there and take out the flags of countries where the missionary can preach the gospel. Take out America. Take out Great Britain, take out Canada, take out Mexico, take out Brazil, and only leave the flags of the countries that are closed to the gospel. A missionary can't get in. You're going to be amazed how many countries of the world the missionaries can't get in. They used to, but today they can't. Every Muslim country is closed to a gospel preaching missionary. They go to a Muslim country, they go in threat of their very life. Our missionaries in Indonesia, I don't know how long they're going to get to stay there. Indonesia is the most populous Muslim country in the world. The doors are closing, I'm saying to you. Those that were open for a while are closing. For a missionary to get into China, he can't go there and say, I'm a Bible preaching missionary. They've got to go in as a teacher. And they have to have underground churches because it's not open. And they go there, their life imprisoned, threatened with imprisonment if they get caught. I'm telling you, we've got to go to the mission fields of the world because we don't have much time left. Yes, doors are quickly closing to the missionary. That's one reason I'm saying we don't have much time left. And by the way, in America, perhaps the freest country known to man, finding more and more restrictions against witnessing and street preaching and so forth. And then they're trying to pass hate crimes, so if you mention anything other than just the simple, neutered Bible truth, you're subject to go to prison for it or be held arrested for it. I'm simply saying we've got to go to the mission fields of the world because time's running out. Time's running out also because Jesus is coming. I know this, He's coming sooner than most of us think He's coming. We can say, I believe Jesus is coming again and He's coming soon. But how many of you are ready for Him to come tonight? One of the signs of the end time is earthquakes in diverse places. Did you hear about the 4-point on the Richter scale in Mansfield? Here? God's judging sinners, man. But seriously, the epicenter of earthquakes in Dallas-Fort Worth is Irving. Time's running out. Jesus is coming soon. Look at all the moral decay of our country and look at all of the compromise of our churches today. You put our situation today as a nation and our churches and our events that are happening around the world in context of Scripture, and the Scripture is crying out, Jesus is coming soon. Amen. We must go to the mission fields of the world because we don't have much time left. Let me read you some stats from 2005 about missions. These were compiled in 2005. In 1950, there were 100,000 missionaries serving throughout the world, missionaries of all denominations. Since 1950, we've lost 1,000 missionaries every year. And only replace them with 50. So we're a negative 950 missionaries every year since 1950. In 2005, there was only 89,000 missionaries worldwide. And of those, only 5,000 were independent Baptist missionaries. A 1,000 American missionaries return home every year. 75% of new missionaries return home within the first 3 years and never go back to the mission field. 43% of missionaries never complete deputation. 30% of all fundamental Baptist missionaries are in 5 countries. the most evangelized countries in the world are Brazil, Mexico, Philippines, United Kingdom, and Canada. Now, I'm simply saying to you tonight, doors are quickly closing, and we in our churches, we're not focused on the world. We're not focused on the plan of God. We're not focused on world missions. Our task is not to bring the world to Jesus. Our job is to make Jesus known to the world. We have a deadline to meet. When Jesus comes, there'll be no more churches and there'll be no more missionaries to send out. But until then, we must go faithfully to the mission fields of the world with the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Now let me ask you, what's your involvement in missions through your church? Are you giving to send others? Are you willing to say, God, here am I, if you could use me, I'm available? We've got to be busy. Our job is to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ to the uttermost part of the world. We must go because Jesus said go. We must go because of the message of the cross of Jesus Christ. We must go because of the nature of salvation itself. And we must go, and go now, because time's running out. Father, that's our message. Would you speak to our hearts now in these next few moments? Help us to get serious about what you're serious about. There's more people in our Baptist churches and independent Baptist churches more serious about baseball or football or hockey or something else, hunting, than they are about your work. God, raise up some people who will be honest with themselves and honest with God. And if need be, fall at an old-fashioned altar and confess the fact that we've had our affections placed in the wrong places and on the wrong things. Help us to get back to you and what's most important to you. And that's seeing sinners saved here in America and throughout the world. Both at the same time. That's my duty. That's the duty of every Christian and every church. Help us to be faithful to do it. In Jesus' name.